are you creating? You're creating a bomb.
And then it hit me like a train.
I don't know me anymore. I only know me as a parent.
So I've been winging it. And this is Shift Happens. Today's episode is called Fix Your Face, Working Through Your Child's Emotions. My co-hosts today are Brittany and Taquana. So let's start with introducing yourselves. Tell everyone who you are and how long you've been a parent.
Hi, I'm Taquana, and I've been a parent since I was 18 years old. So I was a young parent. I guess I was considered still a teen, a older teen parent.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. I am Brittany, and I have been a parent since the age of 19. So same this way. Very young parent.
And I am Tyronica. I was a parent when I was 24. And that's how that happened. To fix your face without wanting to have a discussion. When were you that toxic parent?
If I'm being honest, I can still be that. I try not to, like, I'm learning more so, like, to give, like, not to give instructions on what to do, but I guess, like, allowing the space for my daughter to express herself, and with the follow-up of, okay, maybe we don't express ourselves this way, but maybe, you know, suggesting something that might be a little more appropriate, I guess, depending on how, you know, she responded anyway, for me to be like, fix your face. So I'm working on it, work in progress. I'll say that. So to have a number, I don't have a number, but it's more than what I can count on both hands. I'm sure I've told her to fix her face with no discussion.
Yeah, that's a learned behavior. Mm-hmm. So I would say I started out at that, the fix your face. Like I said, it's a learned behavior. That's what our parents used to tell us, you know. And then one day my daughter came back to me and she was like, you know, you really hurt my feelings when you didn't want to talk about it. And I was like, oh, you know, and she was young at that age too, probably about 4, 5. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. So you were crying because I didn't communicate with you on, you know, about your emotions. And so that's when I really stopped and was like, okay, well, you know, how would I feel if somebody told me to fix my face? How I felt when my mom used to do it. So maybe that isn't right. So, you know, from there, I just kind of went to talking to her about it and talking through it versus just saying, over it.
Yeah, I definitely, that's how I was raised. That's how my mom did. And it was always like, fix your face and fix your mouth. And I couldn't say anything. And then, you know, my grandmother, she from the South. So she deep in that kids need to be seen and not heard. So I'm just like, you know, I'm trying to fix my face, but I feel a way and I don't have a way of expressing it. And my facial muscles like, mom, like, I don't know what to do. So like I can see like the stress on Kelsey's face when I did tell her that, and I'm just like, dang, like I, and it's like at that point, like, you know, I didn't want to hear it, but it just it, you know, that's what I was taught growing up until I decided that, hey, like maybe she gets to express to me what's going on, like why your face look like that. So that brings me into like, really, what does it mean for you as a parent and your relationship you get to have with your child when you let them express how they're feeling? Like, what does that mean for you?
It means it's big for me because, for one, I know that I'm an emotional person, like out of I guess I'll say my siblings, but out of a lot of people that I know, even my friends, I think I'm probably the most emotional. And so having a relationship with my daughter who, you know, she's 15. So having a relationship with her as far as like reassuring her and like being able to validate her feelings, you know what I mean? And be able to create that space where she feels comfortable with being vulnerable with me, I think that's important because, you know, I'd rather her feel comfortable with me. Of course, she's going to, you know, she's a teenager. So, of course, she'll feel comfortable with her friends. And, you know, I think that's the thing, like a lot of what's going on now is like teenagers feel more comfortable with their friends than mm-hmm. they do their parents. So it means a lot for mm-hmm. me to be able to allow my daughter to feel comfortable. So she knows she can come to me. I don't want her to feel, you know, like she can only depend on her friends and, you know, they're her age, you know what I mean? So, you know, depending on your peers to try to guide you through something emotionally, mentally that you're going through, like they might not be able to give the best advice, you know? So it's definitely right. important for me, for her at this age, for her to feel like we have a relationship where she can come to me, be vulnerable, be able to express herself, be able to really just voice like her own opinions and voice her own experiences with me so that she feels comfortable, that she can rely on me, that she knows that I can come and it's like a no judgment zone where she's free to kind of just, you know, vent, you know what I mean? So it's mm-hmm. important for me to have that with her at this age because I don't want her to feel like she has to find it somewhere else. And her right. being a young girl,
right.
being pretty, you know, I would hate for her to feel like she has to depend on a guy, you know, or another girl and feels like she has to depend on anybody else, I would say, that she felt that and feels like she can't come to her mom when something's wrong because she's, you know, she fears judgment or, you know, whatever have you. So, and I just tell her it doesn't have to necessarily be me. It could be another safe adult. So another person that maybe we agree on. My sister, I know she's close to my sister. So if she feels she could go to her aunt and talk to her aunt, cool. But as long as it's another safe adult, I'm good with that. But to me, it does mean the world to me for us to have that relationship. So that is something that's constantly, that has to be like revisited, you know, especially as they get older, as they become of age, because, you know, they do kind of go through this phase where they feel like their friends like is there everything, you know? And so it's like, mm-hmm. well, what happens one day?
Right.
What happens one day when that friend is not there, you know, and you can't turn to them or they don't answer the phone or, you know, whatever could happen. But, you know, to let her know, like, I'm always here. Mommy's going to always be there. So you have this space and we have this relationship that you can come and you can express yourself freely to me and like reiterating the no judgment. Like there's no judgment. I can't judge, I can't punish you, you know, I can't discipline you for what you're going to say, what you're going to share. Just know that we have that space to do that right now if you need it. So that's definitely important for me.
Right. So I definitely second that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because going to friends for advice, especially at a young age, cannot be so good when it comes to these young kids and mm-hmm. these teens. so, but really for me, you know, the benefit for me would be for breaking generational yeah. curses. There are a million things that we have on the list, you know, that we need to change. Definitely this being one of them, and just creating more love in the world. You know, if you just tell yourself, your child to hold in their feelings, what are right. you creating? You're creating a bomb. And that's why there are so many people that are sick and they have mental health yeah. issues because no one ever taught them how to get over how they're feeling. How do I get past this and how do I heal mm-hmm. myself?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's like a really big thing for me. And I mean, if I can help one person, she can help, you know, her children, and it'll just continue to grow from there. So that is my biggest benefit from, you know, listening mm-hmm. to her.
Absolutely.
I really have saw as Kelsey gets older. Now, mind you, Kelsey's only 7. So I've been winging it for 7 years.
I have been fit for 15, so it's okay.
It's just like, as she got older and started getting vocal, you know, it kind of hit me like a train to realize that she did have a voice.
Right.
And I think that's where the epiphany came. Like, you know what, Taronica? Like, you need to talk to her. And I never did that baby talk with her when she was younger. And I always like, you cannot talk to me when you're crying. So that's where Fix Your Face came in. Like, you need to get yourself together. So now it's more of not fix your face, but it's like, okay, take your time, feel what you need to feel, you know, go in your room, lay down in my room, whatever you need to do, get your emotions together so you can come out here and you can talk to me without crying so I can actually understand what you're saying.
Right.
And then I feel like that gives her the time while she's laying there crying by herself. She's figuring out what it is that she's feeling so that when she's coming to talk to me, she has some sort of dialogue that she's ready to present and I'm ready to listen. So we're both getting prepared for that space.
Right.
So I'm just like, okay. So she comes to me. She says, you know, mommy, can I talk to you? Or am I need to talk to you? Or I'm ready to talk. Like, okay, then I'll listen out to her. The conversation we have the most is about her cleaning her room. So so that's a cycle of conversations that we get to have. And it's always, she's get upset and I'm like, I know what the problem is, but, you know, I just want to hear it. It may be something different this time.
Right.
I don't know. Benefit of a doubt. You know, so she's like, you know, it just stresses me out when I have to clean my room. Like, well, you know, it stresses me out too. Like, same.
Now we both.
So then I started creating like, okay. And she's like, it makes me feel sad when you yell at me or you are, you know, you want me to clean my room. I'm like, well, this when it comes into me realizing now that she's expressed to me that I obviously hear her feelings.
Right.
It's like, okay, so I don't want to hurt her feelings. And as a parent, I get to be able to convey how I feel without negative passion.
Right.
And, you know, I can exert my power and my energy, but it doesn't have to be forceful. It doesn't have to be this because I said so type of deal, you know?
Right, exactly.
And so once I...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I'll go.
I know, I was saying that's good that you give her, like, the opportunity to express how she feels, but also, like, the language. Like, you know, a lot of times kids don't even know how to appropriately express their feelings. So, you know, and even as teenagers, we might be so upset about something and not have the words to really, like, I'm so upset, I don't even know how to express, you know, how I feel. Like, they can't even identify certain emotions. So, you know, I think that's our job as parents is to give them those tools too. Like, not just give them the space to express their feelings, but they need to know the language. They need to know, like, to label this is how I'm feeling and this is why I'm feeling this. So for Kelsey to come to you at 7 and say, I feel this because of this, like, that's huge. Because a lot of kids, you know, they don't have that. That's why you see older kids still have tantrums. You know, they might not call them tantrums after terrible twos, but still, like, that's literally, that's still literally, like, what it is that kids just...
It's adults that still don't know how to do that.
You don't have the language. So I like that, you know, I think it's important to be able to teach kids that. And I think sometimes even parents, they kind of fear that. Like, they get that their child does have a voice and that their child has feelings, because it kind of shuts them off to wanting to even allow their child the space to come to them for things, you know, because there's some topics that parents are afraid to touch on with their kids, you know. So, and I'm a therapist, so, and I work with children and families, and so I see it all the time where parents, they don't have that line of communication or they don't have that relationship with their child to, and then what they fear, that like it's some kind of fear behind themselves. It's our comfortable feelings that they're expressing. I think
it's still, right,
language is still important to give them the space. A 7-year old,
and as a parent, I feel like it feels good when you know that you brought that out of your child. You know, like, oh, wow, look at her. She stopped crying. She told me this. Or, you know, she figured out how to get past it. She was able to gather herself on her own without me picking her up and babying mm-hmm. her. And working through emotions does not mean to baby them. Right. Let them feel that. Yeah, let them figure out, okay, what do I need to do next? Hey, did this really deserve this much reaction and these tears? You know, so that is a big issue as well.
And I think that works into...
Sorry.
Oh, I think that works into, like, what you were saying. It helps the parents grow.
Yes.
Because, like, they have the fear, and I think the fear is them not being comfortable in themselves on... thinking that it has to be this perfect answer. Like, the answer can be literally just what it is, but it, when your child is discussing how they feel, like, you are put in a position to where, one, you get to listen, you get to understand, and then you get to respond. But that takes you understanding how you feel too.
Exactly.
Because you need to check how you feel instead of forcing your opinion and thought process on them. You know, just giving them that space and that freedom.
Exactly.
Like, hey, this is how you feel. I understand. And breaking it down. So, like, communication is definitely key, because the last thing I want is, and I hear these kids outside when Kelsey's playing, and this is one little boy over here. He a little riot. So,
I've heard about him.
Yeah. I for sure be air hustling. I don't even let her go outside when he's outside, because it's gotten that far. Because just, like, you know, obviously I can't protect her from the world, which is what I'm not trying to do. Right. I want to expose her within the proper limits. I don't want her to be naive, and I don't want her to be asking her little friends, you know how your mama say, your little friends, you know, stuff that she can ask me, because they don't know any better, and I don't need her going down the wrong path with misinformation, because the power we have is in knowledge, and knowledge and communication. So it's like, if you can't, if you don't have either, it's like you're pretty much, like, doomed. And it's the two basic skills that everyone is capable of having and doing. So just, like, I just want to employ that with her at a young age, because then she can be that leader for her friends, and she's very vocal.
Right.
So it's like, I can hear her conversations. So it's like, okay, great. Like, I'm on the right path. I got some work to do still, but at least I'm at a good starting point. So it's like, you don't need to listen to what they're saying. And there's a couple of times that she told me, one of her friends said something to her that I had to clear up, and I had to go through this whole conversation thing about why. And normally as parents, we want to get irritated, because, like, you're asking me questions, keep saying why. But it's like, we also have to realize they don't know. They don't know until we tell them. So that's, like, the real benefit of, like, open communication. And then on top of that, I know what's going on in her world. Like, there's going to be very few things that are going to pop up. Now, I know I have something to look forward to when she becomes a teenager, because all this technology and stuff, I don't know, I'm going to figure it out, because I'm about to hack all this shit, okay? But it's just, I don't want to have to be that parent. It's more so for a safety issue, but more so is just, so much can be accessible so quickly. I just want her to feel comfortable when she's feeling away to always come talk to me, to know that this is a judgment-free zone. I'm going to come with an open heart, and this is a safe space. No matter if I do get upset, you know, I'll talk about how I feel, why I am upset, so you can understand, but still be there to support you. I want her to know, no matter what, I'm still here to support her. And that's where the communication comes in. And then she can feel that support.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I just, this is crazy. And my mom is just like, you let her have such a voice. You let her talk back. Like, no, I don't let her talk back. I allow her to have a conversation with me. That's exactly what I allow her to do.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, if I say something and she feels like she needs to respond, now it depends on what she's saying. Yeah, of course. Like, right. You want to get smart, you get popped in the mouth. But if you feel like you have something to add to this conversation, you know, the floor is yours. Go ahead and do it. And then we'll go from there. It's a learning process, so.
They're little people, and it's on us to treat them as such. Right. They're growing. They're learning. It's okay to say, I'm sorry to your child. A lot of people have never, you know, kids, some parents have never said that to their child. I'm sorry. Do you know how much relief that feels as a child for your mother to be wrong or father to be wrong and they come and tell you that?
Even as an adult.
Like, oh my goodness. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that people don't realize that kids, we keep putting these kids like in a box. Like, they are literal people. Like, they're just people that get to grow. Literally, that's it. Like, when you're born with all of your emotions. You feel everything. But what you do when you grow is you learn how to express what those emotions are. You learn what they are. You know the difference between feeling sad, feeling anxiety, feeling angry, feeling happy and excited. You start learning the difference. But those emotions aren't new. They don't just pop out of nowhere all of a sudden when you're 12.
Right.
Like, no. So I think that's where a lot of parents, they misunderstand, like, this came with them. It was a package deal. Like the little Barbie with accessories, emotions were in there.
Right.
Yeah, I think if we just be more conscious on that as parents about the communication we have with our kids, like there will be a lot less of blindsidedness and you can kind of know. And like your intuition already is going to direct you with your child's behavior and you're going to know.
Right.
Assuming you're a parent that pays attention.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So what techniques do you think work or don't work when it comes to this communication thing with your kid?
What techniques?
Yeah, like what techniques? Like one of my techniques were, you know, letting her go in her room, cry, then come back out.
Well, what I started maybe a couple years ago, you know, I can't do all of that if you're crying and you're trying to explain something to me. Like, come back when you're done. So I would tell her, like, go for a walk. Like, go ahead, go for a walk, and then come back when you're done, and then we could talk about it. And then, you know, her being older and having, like, a phone, I would say, if you need to, text it to me first. You know, text it to me, and then we could talk about it.
That's good.
Yeah, so...
That is, like, I'm writing that down.
Right. No. Yeah, I mean, little kids now, too, they have iPads or whatever. Some of them have cell phones, too. So sometimes what I've learned is I know me as an adult, if I'm upset and somebody has hurt my feelings, it's easier for me to text you before I have a conversation with you. Like, that's just me, personally. And sometimes I'll text it out, and I'll call you, but maybe I'm reading the text message to you. So... when I realized like that was a thing that worked for me, so I tried to pass that on to her. So what she does now, even at 15, now she's learning to drive. And so I say, you could go for a walk or you could drive the car around the block and come back when you're done. And that works. She goes, she cools off, and she has to go and she has to scream or whatever she has to do, cry it out, whatever she has to do. She'll go for a few minutes, she'll come back, and then she's ready to talk to me. And even with the texting, you know, she'll come back and text me later, like, you know, mommy frustrated and I didn't know what to do, you know, and then she'll say, can we talk or, you know, whatever, initiate maybe a conversation for us to have maybe later on or something. But yeah, the giving time away, so that time away and walking away or whatever, or you walking away, whatever it is, like for them to just to remove themselves for a little bit, I feel like that works really good. And then, like I said, the texting or writing it down. We used to, when she was younger, we used to like keep a journal together. So I would let her write stuff, like write notes to me about how she felt or whatever, or something she wanted to talk about and maybe it was hard to talk about, so I would let her write about it. But yeah, I really feel like those two things is something that that works for her and works for us. And it's a way I'm allowing her to feel how she feels, so I'm not taking away, like, you know, you can't be mad about that. You can't be frustrated. But, like, I'm allowing her to feel that feeling, whatever that is, as well as allowing herself to process how she's feeling. So that's a benefit because she's learning to, okay, how can I regulate myself? I'm at a 10. How can I get down to maybe a 7? Okay, mm-hmm. How can I get down to maybe now, like, a 5? So now me allowing her the time and the space away, that's giving her time to process, to regulate her emotions, and then feeling ready to come back and like, okay, now I'm ready to engage. I'm ready, Mom, to tell you how struggling a minute ago, or how this really just, I was really upset about this, or I was really frustrated, or Mom, you hurt my feelings with this, you know? So it gives them time. And I feel like you need that time, because when you're in the heat of the moment and you're emotional, you may say things and that might not even really be how you feel, or that might not even really be, you know, what the situation is. So having time away, it gives you time to process and to come up with a clear, logical, rational, you know, explanation for you to share, you know, what was going on. And so now you're able to really to do it in a way where now I, as the parent, I can be more receptive, because now I see that you've calmed down. So, and now, now I'm not feeding off that energy, because if you're yelling, what I'm going to do? Then I'm going to start yelling. And we're really not going to get nowhere. Or when you're frustrated, guess what? I'm gonna be frustrated. So we're not going to get anywhere. So having it happen in that way, I feel like that is really good, you know, what each other has to say in that moment for her to really feel like she's expressed herself and really even learn to, like, you know, like I said, like self-soothe, like self-regulate. So I feel like those are some two good ones that are some still good go-tos for me and my daughter.
Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, that's great. I know, I wrote them down. I'm like, oh, maybe I wasn't as good as I thought I was.
It was a text for me, like, what? Okay.
Me to write. I'm about to go tell her as soon as we're done with this. I like that. So I wish I had more, you know, techniques, but yeah, for me, so my daughter is a crier. Whether she's mad, sad, upset, tired, she cries. So definitely, like, some people, when they see, like, our interaction, she might get upset, she'll start crying, and she'll just turn around and go directly to her room. And my sister saw that once, and she's like, you're just going to let her walk away from you? No, this is what we do. I understand what she's doing. And first of all, for outsiders looking in, if you understand the process of what you do as a parent, do not let anybody tell you something is wrong or something, you know, you need to do something. You know, if you understand that, do what you do.
Right.
Some people don't understand everybody's relationship. Me and my daughter's relationship is what we have, you know, and that's us. I understand her and she understands me. And so, you know, with her, she'll go directly to her room, close the door, doesn't slam it. She will close it, though.
Right. I like that.
And she will let those tears out. Right. Because then it's a problem if that door slams. One time her window was open and it was windy and it slammed and what happened? She made sure she stopped them tears enough to tell me it was the wind. Okay.
Clear it up.
Seriously. Right. But no, she, so we're definitely there, you know, with that time. You know, just sit down, relax, take a nap, take a shower, you know, wash all those feelings down the drain. I had a friend tell me one time, when you're in the shower after your day, visualize whatever stress, whatever happened throughout the day is just rinsing with the water down the drain. So, you know, that meditation, things like that is what we're, you know, working on. There are a lot of, well, since COVID happened, there have been a lot of self-reflection, you know, motivational apps, sayings, things to do that help you through this. And so I, every time I see something good, I write it down. Because we all need it, not just the kids, or definitely the kids, right. But we need it too. Yep.
I think some of my techniques, obviously it's the, you know, go cry it out technique, letting her work through it on her own, which I think is number one for sure, because then she won't be dependent on me as she gets older. And if something were to happen when I'm not around, she'll be able to handle it. Right. I won't be a crutch for her. And that'll be a tool. And then eventually she can talk to her friends about it. We started meditating and doing yoga. So now she will actually request that we do yoga together, because there's actually this, I have Sling TV. I think it's on Sling. I don't remember. It's on some online TV service where you can have like these little parent and child yoga sessions that aren't too intense. It's literally more of a meditative thing, and it goes on about her day. And then lucky for me, Janae came out with a protection mantra meditation song that's literally 7 minutes long, and I put that on for her, and this happened the other day.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And, you know, she was crying and like she was having a hard time, and I put that on for her. And, you know, after a while, like she started to calm down, she stopped crying. And then eventually, ultimately, she was, you know, tired and she went to sleep. Mm-hmm. So I really think those meditative music, I also sometimes I like to let her have her own baths, like her own bubble baths. Mm-hmm. So that goes in, you know, she has her own little candles, her own little bath bombs, stuff like that. It's not expensive. You can go to the dollar store and get that. Giving your kids skin is not too sensitive. Then you'll have to come out of pocket for some bath bombs. Right. But, you know, it's just, you know, and when I pick her up from school, like, you know, I ask her, like, how's your day? What did you do today? And then she starts telling me about her new friends because she just started a new school. And, you know, all that plays into, like, that daily conversation plays into those moments when they are heightened and they are emotional. Because as a parent, you have to be in control when it comes to the emotions. And the dialogues often start from when they're upset. The dialogue has to start from earlier that day, the week before, the month before, when everything is on, you know? So, and then we have other like techniques where I get to talk to her, like when we're going hiking, and she starts telling me stories about sirens. Just in case anyone does not know what a siren is, I just learned this a month ago. Those are evil mermaids.
Oh.
So, yeah, I learned about sirens.
Okay.
So if you actually talk to your kid, you learn some stuff. And oh, one other fun fact that I learned that I did not know prior 2 months ago. Brown pandas. She told me she wanted a jet. We're going to slide on that one, okay? And she wants a brown panda. So I said, okay, well, you know, there are no brown pandas. I'm like, so do you just want a bear? Like, is that what you're asking me for? Because, you know, I'm trying to clarify. And she's like, no, mommy, I want a brown panda. Like, okay, okay. Like, I'm so...
Not a bear.
Because I'm like, what is a brown panda? And I'm like, you know, oh, maybe she just, you know, that's a bear. And then, I don't know, we were at the airport, we were going somewhere, and I'm sitting there, you know, you get bored. And I'm just like, let me look up a brown panda. Like, what is she? And you know what? Guess what? My golly gee, brown pandas exist. They are literally, they're brown and white. So where the black and white panda has a black, it's brown.
Wow.
Oh, really?
So if we just shut up and listen to the kids sometimes, they kind of know what they're talking about.
We can learn something.
I was just like,
right.
Yeah. So that happened to me 3 times when I tried to correct her on something and I was wrong. Because I also tried to correct her about a siren. Because I'm like, no, that's the thing that make noise. Right. She's like, no, it's an evil mermaid. I'm like, so I, from that point forward, do not correct her. I go fact check first on my own.
Right.
Then I come back to her with my little tidbits. So the communication, it can lead to so many benefits. And just about you just learning and you just growing as a person. I just feel like if you're dedicated as bettering yourself as a human, not just as a parent, but just as a person. Right. Yeah. Like it's going to spill over into your child automatically. Cause at the end of the day, communication is more than just words. It's literally your behavior, your, you know, nonverbal cues, what they talk about.
Right.
Like Kelsey does everything that I do down to the dancing in the middle of the freaking anywhere. We dance in the middle of anywhere. So
literally.
And I'm talking about breaking
on dance. And not just a dance, a whole performance. Like it.
Oh my goodness.
It's like, look it. Like if we're in the mood, we're feeling it. So it's just like me realizing that it's like she's literally mimicking everything. It's made me take a hard look in the mirror. Hey, you need to check yourself. You need to get it together. And thankfully, she's like that mirror. She exposes what I get to work on, and I get to work on it, and she gets to see it and experience it and then move on to her children and her spouse and anyone that she works with or come in contact with. Like they're going to have this great experience of her simply by the fact that we know how to freaking communicate.
Right.
And this is their first relationship, you know? So if they can't communicate with us, what's happening with their friends, their spouses, their coworkers, employees, if they have any, like, we get to teach them the basic skill of life.
Right.
Yeah. That took me out. I'm just like, yeah. So we're coming to a close. And this was a great discussion. Thank you, ladies. Do you have any final thoughts? Anything you want to put into the space? Any final advice, tips, tricks?
So I do one thing, because I had a little notepad with some little topics written down. But of course, Ronnie had like a whole setup. So we're going off of that. But I did write down, it's okay for us to not understand their emotions, because those emotions belong to them. Everybody is different. Everybody is way different, you know. They could be upset about something that is so stupid to me, but to them it's the world. That is okay, as long as they're not hurting anybody in the process or themselves. Let them deal with those emotions and figure out how to get past it, and hopefully at the end of that they may see how minute the issue was to how big their response was to it.
I love it.
Dang, you was spitting.
Something I always teach is, you know, your emotions belong to you, you know, and it's like piggybacking off what you said, like just because it might seem small to us doesn't mean that it's minute to them. So, you know, I also say too, like, it's the same thing with our kids. Like, we can't tell our kids they shouldn't feel a certain way. How they feel is how they feel. Allow them to own it. What matters is how they express those feelings. So all emotions are okay. I tell everybody all emotions are okay. You could be happy, sad, mad, angry, whatever. But what matters is what you do with that emotion, the behavior that comes after that. So you want to just be mindful of that, just being mindful that you own your feelings. No one could tell you how you should or should not feel, but be mindful of how you behave, how you respond, because you're responsible, you know, for what comes next. You're responsible for what comes after that when you're, you know, responding to that emotion. And yeah. also, too, last little tidbit is that sometimes we give too much power. We give too much into our emotions. Like, feelings could just be feelings and that's it. You know what I mean? They don't have to be, mm-hmm. you know, they don't have to be bigger sometimes. And not minimizing how somebody feels. That's just minimizing emotions. I feel like we're giving our emotions too much power, that our emotions are driving us and we're not driving them. So that's like right. that's always a big thing. And it is, you know, you try not to get that misunderstanding. Like, I'm trying to minimize your feelings. No, I'm just letting you know, like, we don't need to give our emotions too much power, because our emotions could drive us into the wall. You know what I mean? And we don't even know how we got here. So yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say that's my last little tips about emotions. Thank you, Tyronica, for having us. It was definitely a pleasure. I definitely enjoyed myself, and I definitely learned a lot myself. So this was definitely a pleasure.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. This is a learning journey on the way, and this is why these discussions need to happen with parents, because we're not alone in this, and we experience a lot of the same things, and we may deal with it a little bit differently, but sometimes getting that other perspective mm-hmm. from other parents is then like, you know what? Hey, you know what? I might try that. That may work better for me. And mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. it's just like, I feel like we've gotten a lot from each other, and other parents who listen to this will get the same thing and feel the same way. And I am pretty excited about that, mm-hmm. that, you know, this is moving in a positive direction of communication that's going to be generational and have a ripple effect, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So
I love it.
For my listeners, before we leave out, this is the end of the podcast challenge. I challenge all parents to decide what technique you are going to use between you and your child for communication. Go ahead and hashtag Shift Happens Podcast and let us know what technique you're going to use to create that open communication between you and your child. Thank you for listening to Tyronica, Brittany, and Taquana on discussing Fix Your Face, Working Through Your Child's Emotions. And this is Shift Happens.